Welcome to the podcast of First Presbyterian Church of Marietta, where we are committed to changing lives with faith, hope, and love. We're so glad you are here.
Now, a second scripture lesson from the Gospel of John, John chapter 2, verses 13 to 22. Again, I invite you to listen for the word of the Lord. The Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple, he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and the money changers seated at their tables. Making a whip of cords, he drove all of them out of the temple, both the sheep and the cattle. He also poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. He told those who were selling the doves, "Take these things out of here. Stop making my Father's house a marketplace." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." The Jews then said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews then said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and will you raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking of the temple of his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. One of the shortest verses in the Bible, Jesus wept. And another like it, Jesus laughed. Despite their brevity, tell us so much about this Savior of ours, whose emotional life we are prone to reduce down to some kind of warm, solemn piety. You can see what I'm talking about when you look to art. Some of us grew up with paintings of Jesus on our Sunday school room walls, which only told us part of the story. One of the most famous of these portraits is by an artist named Warner Salmon. In this one, Jesus is bearded, white, and he's looking off in the distance, neither stoic nor emotional, just serene. Now, this painting doesn't tell us the whole story. Even those other popular images of Jesus welcoming the little children, which of course he did, or rescuing lost sheep, which also of course he did, only tell us part of the story, because he wasn't white, nor was he just nice all the time. He also wept, he also laughed, and he also got angry. He had emotions, just like we do. He was sometimes sad, just as we sometimes are. He often laughed, just like we do. He even sometimes got angry, just like we do. But maybe the difference between him and us is in how he expressed these emotions, what he used them to do. Now, expressing our emotions isn't something that we all know how to do, even though Mr. Rogers tried to teach us. During this pandemic, I've become even more of a fan of Mr. Fred Rogers. I have my own red sweater, which I often wear, and I even have a Mr. Rogers coffee mug. Plus, I read his biography, and I saw 2 movies about him, all in the last year. But a while ago, I came across this video clip where Mr. Rogers, he walks towards the camera, and he says, "I'm angry." Now, he doesn't look very angry. I've said it before that it's hard to look angry when you're wearing a cardigan. And then he starts singing. "What do you do with the mad that you feel when you feel so mad you could bite? When the whole wide world seems oh so wrong and nothing you do seems very right? That's what he sings, and sometimes that's life. We get mad, but what do we do with the mad that we feel? What did Jesus do with the mad that he felt? We read from the Gospel of John that Jesus told those who were selling doves, "Take these things out of here. Stop making my Father's house a marketplace." We see here that Jesus felt the same anger that we feel, but he did something different from what we usually do with it. First of all, often unlike us, he can just say what it is that he's angry about. Not everyone I know can do even that. In fact, I know a whole lot of people who won't even admit when they're angry, even if they are, and I am one of them. It's hard for me to even just say that I'm angry because I think that I am always supposed to be nice. When I was a kid, my parents would ask me, "Joe, what's wrong?" And I'd tell them, "Nothing." These days, Sarah will ask me, "What are you so mad about?" And I'll say, "I'm mad about you always asking me if I'm mad." Now, that's not true, of course, but that's what I say because just that simple thing, saying what it is that I'm angry about, is hard for me to do, and I'm not alone. So let me say that in taking a lesson from Jesus, we first must accept the reality that being angry is a part of being human in an imperfect world. Then we must come to terms with the truth that sometimes our anger is trying to tell us something so important that we must never ignore it. For anger isn't always so unreasonable. Most of the time we are justified in our anger, but we get all messed up in coming to terms with what it is that we're really angry about and then deciding what it is that we're going to do about it. The most wonderful detail in our gospel lesson for today is there in verse 15. We read, "Making a whip of cords, he drove them out of the temple, both the sheep and the cattle." In all four of our gospel accounts of Jesus' life and ministry, he storms into the temple, kicking tables and scattering coins and setting free animals. But it is only in the Gospel of John that we have this detail, that he was angry, then he stopped what he was doing to braid a whip. Now, I don't know how long it takes to braid a whip of cords. I don't know because I've never done it. And I also don't know, not just because I've never done it, but also because when I get angry, I don't stop to do much of anything. I don't stop to calm down and process my thoughts. Instead, I either just start talking without thinking or go silent and brooding. Hardly, if ever, do I stop what I'm doing to sit down and think about why it is that I'm angry and what it is that my anger is trying to tell me. Jesus is different. He's like us in the sense that he gets angry, but then he braids a whip of cords. Do you know how countercultural that is? There's an old cartoon I remember where the boss yells at dad in the office. Then dad comes home and yells at mom in the kitchen. Mom goes upstairs to yell at their son, who then walks out into the yard to kick the dog. Anger. Anger can destroy families like a virus that just gets passed from one to the next. Another thing we do with anger is we keep it inside so that it rots out our guts and hollows out our spirits. Some try to drown their anger with liquor or numb it with drugs, either of which is destructive, and few of us take the time to really think about it. What is it that I'm so mad about, and then what am I going to do about it? The knee-jerk response to get somebody fired or lock somebody up so frequently does so much more harm than good. Impulsivity isn't the answer, so look to Jesus. We must take the time. We must learn to braid the whip. especially given this year that we've all had. We are all angry about something, but we have to stop and listen to our anger for it to do us and our world any good. A hero of mine was Harris Hines. Harris Hines was a member of our church, and he was an officer on our session. He also served on the Georgia Supreme Court as the Chief Justice. In his farewell address to the judiciary as he prepared for retirement, he reminded those listening how he worked to fight the old lock-him-up order from the bench in the hopes of getting to a better solution. And he urged those who followed in his footsteps to do the same. For just filling up our prisons is not achieving that higher goal of rehabilitation, even if it feels like we're doing something. Our jails and prisons are full of people. I go there and I just see angry, frustrated people who are behind bars and who are put there by angry, frustrated people. Now, that's a lot of misused anger if you ask me. So as a culture, as a nation, we have to learn what to do with anger because it will tear us apart. But you know what it's supposed to do? Purify us. Significant background for understanding what it means for Jesus to storm the temple is found in the Old Testament book of Malachi, which Dr. Jeffrey Meeks read. There it is written, "The Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. And when he gets there, he won't just be nice, walking around, shaking hands, and kissing babies. No, according to the prophet Malachi, he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. And he will purify the descendants of Levi and refine them like gold and silver until they present offerings to the Lord in righteousness." Jesus, fueled by such anger, purifies the temple so that it might no longer be a marketplace, but a temple. No longer a den of thieves, but a sanctuary for the hurting. No longer a place where money is exchanged and debts are paid, but a place where debts are forgiven. And how did he do it? Through anger. Through an anger that is frustrated with what is and directed towards which stands in the way of a better future. Our world could use that kind of anger. Our nation could use that kind of anger. Even our church would benefit from that kind of anger. In just a couple of hours, we will be ordaining and installing a group of new church officers, and we'll ask them a series of questions first. One of my favorite questions which we will ask them is this: will you serve the people with energy, intelligence, imagination, and love? Now, you can all imagine using these good things to serve the church, but I tell you this, we also need their frustration because we are not yet the best church we could be, so do not grow satisfied with who we are today. We also need their irritation, because patience is good, but too much patience enables us to comfortably settle in where we are. We need their anger, because there is so much wrong in this world that we can just not be okay with any longer. It is time to listen to our anger, that feeling we feel when we see abuse and consider all the ways that people are not valued, that they are looked over and are made to feel that they are less than human because of the color of their skin, who they love, or where they come from. In order to value all of God's children, we have to kick over the structures that maintain things as they are. Now, I'm not talking about recklessness. We're a church full of kind and decent people. We're not a mob. So let me say that we must learn from Christ to braid the whip. We must stop and listen to our anger, to our frustration. For the Spirit within us is calling us away from the ways of death, all the ways of unfairness that we have grown too used to, and towards new life. Amen.
This podcast is a ministry of First Presbyterian Church of Marietta. Come join us Sundays at 189 Church Street, Marietta, Georgia, or visit us online at fpcmarietta.org.